Everybody loves the touchdown.
Throws to the back of the end zone, and it is caught for a touchdown by Holmes.
The grand slam.
Fly ball to center field. Ethier has done it again. It's a grand slam.
The buzzer beater.
Gets it to LeBron for three for the win.
Yes! But how did those players get to that moment? And who built the venue and signed the contracts? We dig into the business side of sports and give you the answers. This is Sports Business Radio, powered by Postano. Now, from our studios in Portland, Oregon, with Sports Business Radio, here's your host, Brian Berger.
Well, thanks for checking out the only show in the country dedicated to covering the business side of sports on a global scale. We're glad you could join us this week on our show. We've got Brian Cheek from Postano. They did some interesting things around the college football playoffs, and they've got some other great clients that they're doing things with. Social media displays. They've got some conversations coming up at South by Sports in Austin, and then they'll be part of my event, the Sports PR Summit, in May. So we'll catch up with Brian Cheek from Postano on today's show. Peter Cipollone, he is an Olympic gold medalist, a coxswain, and the co-founder of the company Instavisor. You remember we had the people from Thuzio on the show a few months back. Well, this is kind of an interesting and similar concept. It's coaching from elite athletes via video. So we'll talk to Peter Cipollone about that and what Instavisor is up to. I think it's a unique concept again. And then Shergul Arshad, he is the CEO and founder of Mondo Goal Fantasy Soccer. If you read the current issue of ESPN, the magazine, Adam Silver on the cover, the gambling issue, I think this is an interesting conversation with Shergul because we talk about the growth of fantasy soccer. We talk about the advantages that fantasy soccer has over some of the other sports. And then we talk about gambling in general. Is it time to legalize gambling in the United States around sports? We'll talk to Shergul Arshad about that on our show today. I'm joined by our executive producer, Brian Griggs. Griggs, how are you?
Doing good. I'm happy I'm not on the East Coast right now with more snow. We're at 63 degrees in Portland and sunshine, so not to rub it in at all, but I'm loving it right now.
Yeah, we have been fortunate with the good weather. My year started down in Arizona. I was at Super Bowl 49 for 10 days. I was working with the Arizona Super Bowl host committee. And, you know, just being around Super Bowl, this is my second year in a row that I've been around it. You've got Radio Row and you've got celebrities. I was actually fortunate enough to attend NFL Honors, which is the awards show for MVP and Man of the Year and things like that. And I got to see some of the NFLers up close and just, you know, kind of be around all of that for a week. I was with Roger Goodell for a few of his press conferences, his infamous press conference on that Friday is kind of the State of the Union press conference with some barbs back and forth with Rachel Nichols. But then also I saw him at football clinics. And you know what, Griggs, my takeaway from Goodell was he's not a bad guy. Like if you see him at the clinics and you see him around kids and you see him around players and coaches and owners, like they respect him and he gets along fine with the kids. But when he gets into those press conference situations and he gets asked a difficult question, he tends to get defensive. So if I was advising him, I'd say, hey, Commissioner Goodell, how can we get you to be the same guy that you are, more jovial and friendly at the football clinics as you are at the press conferences? That would be interesting. And then, of course, Katy Perry and, you know, everything around Super Bowl 49. The Patriots won the game. I was at the MVP press conference on that Monday morning after the game with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Just interesting to observe all of that up close. I'm not someone who likes to go to the big events because I've been to many of them. I'd rather watch on TV, frankly, but it was interesting to be up close and personal at Super Bowl 49.
Well, yeah, that's kind of a cool opportunity just because, you know, a lot of people don't see it from behind the scenes and you get to see how the whole thing is put together and how it works and what a huge event it is. I mean, I'm sure you were amazed at all the people and how many people it takes to put these things on. So it's kind of a, you see that backside view of it and you really see how many people are involved to put the event on like that.
Well, and I'll say this, Peter Riley is the new event person for the NFL. This was his first Super Bowl and he did a fantastic job. And I think Arizona did a fantastic job hosting the Super Bowl. I mean, when you're hosting these events, you want great attendance. You want people to have a good time. You want good economic impact, and of course, you want no major mishaps during the week. And I think Arizona achieved all of those things. And I'd be surprised if Arizona doesn't host another Super Bowl in the next 5 to 6 years. If I'm the NFL, I want the Super Bowl in a warm weather climate, whether that's somewhere in Arizona, California, or Florida. I know New Orleans is in the mix too. But, you know, some of the other places they've taken the Super Bowl where it's been freezing cold. I know we've got Minneapolis coming up in a few years. We had New York last year. The media just doesn't like it. I don't think the fans like going to the freezing cold like we were just talking.
Well, yeah, I think as a fan, you know, everybody likes to go to Arizona because it's warm. You can make an even longer vacation out of it because you can be outside, you can wander around, you can take in the sights, and it's a great area. It's a great venue. It's a great area. It's a perfect spot for it.
The commercials around Super Bowl 49 I found to be largely disappointing. Advertisers paid $4.5 million for a 30-second spot. Griggs, get this. There's already talk that CBS is going to charge $6 million for a 30-second spot for Super Bowl 50, which is next year in San Francisco. The prices keep going up for the 30 seconds. The prices, I'm sure, go up to produce the commercials, but the commercials aren't getting any better, in my opinion. I shake my head sometimes and I go, wow, that company just paid that much money for that?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I thought this year's were really weak. I mean, honestly, I hardly even remember many of them because they weren't things that grabbed me and stuck with me, and it just didn't work this year. But I think as long as the viewership continues to go up, they're going to just keep raising rates. If that viewership drops off and you don't have as many people seeing the game, then that's when the rates are going to hold steady or even drop down some, I think.
Well, you're right. 114.4 million viewers is what the NFL said tuned in to this, making it the highest viewed program in the history of U.S. television. So if more eyeballs are tuning in, the networks are only going to charge more money. Something I've never seen before nationwide, their commercial with the child and the death and all that stuff. They had to issue a statement during the game because of all the outrage on Twitter. So, you know, again, you're spending all this money around a commercial spot. And if that's the kind of reaction you get after you spend that much money, that is not job well done. The other thing that caught my eye was more recently, the NBA All-Star Game took place this last weekend, Griggs, and it went up against some stiff competition, the 40th anniversary viewing of Saturday Night Live. So the numbers, Saturday Night Live on NBC had a 14.2 rating versus a 5.5 rating for the NBA All-Star Game on TNT and TBS, according to 56 markets monitored by Nielsen. So essentially, 23 million people tuned in to watch Saturday Night Live's 40th anniversary special, while a little over 7.2 million tuned in for the NBA All-Star Game. That's tough to go up against such a big special and such big names and a lot of promotion before the Saturday Night Live special. Frankly, Griggs, I watched the Saturday Night Live versus the NBA, so I was one of those 23 million people.
Yeah, I kind of bounced back and forth. I mean, I'm an NBA guy, so I love just to see that, and I love to see how they put it together and what it looks like. And honestly, I mean, it's kind of a joke, and it's really not really necessary, most of it, but it was fun for me to see it. But SNL, I mean, that 40 years is ridiculous, by the way. And that special was pretty cool, seeing some of the old faces back on there, too.
So the other note about that, the SNL show counts as NBC's most watched primetime entertainment telecast in total viewers since 2004. That was the ER finale that got 23 million viewers. Also, the Frasier finale got around 23 million viewers. So you're talking about a show that got as many viewers as, you know, just about any show in the history of NBC in the last decade. So, again, there were some really good, compelling things. As far as tweets, it was a little bit more even as far as tweets, but viewership, SNL blew the NBA out of the water. What did you think about Ariana Grande as the halftime performer for the NBA All-Star Game?
I like her, but I think Katy Perry did a better show. Obviously, more money involved, but I like Katy Perry's take on the Super Bowl better. But it wasn't bad overall. I mean, I like both those lady singers, so I was tuned into both of them.
By the way, I will comment on that, the Pepsi halftime show with Katy Perry. Being there in person is so much different than watching it on TV. I did both. I TiVo'd it and watched it when I got home. But being there in person to see how fast they convert the field and get all the lights turned on for the performance, and I mean, just it's a huge production. And then Katy Perry literally flying around the stadium, that took some guts on her part. I mean, that's a heavy stunt for someone who makes the money she does and has the career that she has. So I thought it was a really good performance. But again, just so different being there in person. Even like the catch that was made towards the end of the game in the fourth quarter by the Seattle Seahawks receiver. I think it was Baldwin that made the catch where it kind of bounced off his chest. And, you know, in the stadium, you don't know right away that he made that catch. But if you're watching on TV with all the different replays, pretty clear that he made the catch. And the, you know, the NBC people, Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth, right on top of that. So just a different experience in person versus TV.
Yeah, it always is, especially like you're saying with football, especially because there's so many angles you don't see when you're there. If you're on the field on the opposite side, you're not going to see the same view that they're going to show from the, you know, the camera flying over the top of the game. So yeah, I agree. It's different. It's cool. But yeah, like you said, productions are ridiculous when you see how much people are involved in a halftime show and how quick they can do it. And I mean, I thought that show went off flawlessly. I thought it sounded great, looked great on TV, and I thought it was great.
Last topic of the week to cover. Most people know that when I'm not hosting this show, I have a company called Everything Is On The Record. I media and social media train athletes. It was interesting for me to go to Super Bowl Media Day. And, you know, I stood in front of Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, and of course, Marshawn Lynch. And, you know, it was a circus, Griggs. But, you know, it's interesting to see Marshawn Lynch, Russell Westbrook, and even Kevin Durant at the All-Star Weekend where he says the media doesn't know bleep. It's interesting to see the athletes taking a stand against the media. I'm quite sure that especially in Kevin Durant's case, that Nike and Sprint and Sparkling Ice Beverages and NBA 2K aren't paying him for that kind of attitude. They're paying him for the guy who was the MVP and cried at the press conference and thanked his mom, and the guy who's always been cooperative with the media and accessible. That was a little bit surprising to me, those comments from him, but I'm seeing more and more athletes go with the one-word answers. It's almost like they're modeling themselves after Marshawn Lynch, and I think that's a big mistake.
Yeah, I think it is, and I think it closes them off from the fan, too, because I think the fan wants to hear what they want to say. I mean, we're tuned in to hear their response to these questions, and, you know, albeit some of the questions are ridiculous, and I get why they do this, but, yeah, I think it hurts their brand and their future as a whole when they don't answer questions.
All right, coming up next, we've got Brian Cheek from Pestano. We've got a busy edition of Sports Business Radio all on tap for you. You are listening to Sports Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Stay in the know at sportsbusinessradio.com. Podcasts, blogs, and more powered by Postano. SBR will be right back.
Hi, it's Brian Berger. Here at Sports Business Radio, we are proud to work with our partners, Pestano. They make a sports-proven visual marketing platform that I've personally been amazed to see. Teams like the Dallas Cowboys, Boston Red Sox, LA Kings, and Cleveland Cavaliers all use Pestano to engage their fans. When sports teams and fans tell their stories together, amazing things can happen. Every fan has a story. Whether you want to put selfies on the Jumbotron, create a dynamic social media command center, or activate a hashtag campaign on your website, Pestano can design an amazing social experience true to your brand. Even better, using the Pestano platform can pay for itself through selling sponsorships. As an example, the Kings sell sponsor space to Toyota and other clients and run the ads using Pestano. Want to see what your team's social content could look like? Schedule a demo today. Go to Pestano.com/sports. If you're a fan of this podcast, you understand the real power of engaging your fans. And these guys get it. That is Pestano.com.
This is Sports Business Radio.
Well, as you know, Pestano powers Sports Business Radio and our Sports Business Radio Roadshow. We were at UCLA in December with former NBA star Baron Davis. Pestano brought the social media conversations to life at our event with displays in the auditorium. They also power my event in New York, the Sports PR Summit. I'm joined by Brian Cheek, the Director of Business Development Sports for Pestano. You can find Pestano on Twitter at Pestano or go to Pestano.com. Brian, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Brian. How are you?
Good. You guys have been super, super busy. I saw your work around the college football playoffs. That was a new entity this year. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was fantastic. So, as you mentioned, I did spend the first couple weeks of January in the beautiful city of Dallas. We lit up the Cotton Bowl and then followed it up by the college football playoff. College football playoff was really exceptional. I think if you attended the event, there was certainly a great emphasis on the brand and the branding of, you know, the new championship. And so everywhere you went around Dallas, they were completely on brand. And I think that is one of the reasons why they chose Pestano. You know, we can check off all those boxes, right? So we do major events. We're used to high volume, high traffic areas. We're certainly the, premier vendor when it comes to visualizing social in a branded experience. So college football playoff, really took on a great use of social media. From the minute you walked into the Fan Central, you were greeted by a social tower with a few desks around the perimeter that were being, worked by some interns that were moderating content. Obviously, we had screens for, both the Bucks and the Ducks and some general conversation screens. We did a Twitter battle between the two teams that went over the duration of the week-long period. We crowned a social champion in the fourth quarter of the game. So in total, we did about 45 different screen activations. And again, every single touch point. So Fan Central had the tower and six additional screens inside. We did things at American Airlines Center for the concerts. We did the tailgate party we erected a tower in that footprint, as well as some large screens that flanked the stage for the live entertainment. And then, of course, the game. We did several things at the game, including Twitter voting, your social soundtrack vote, and again, crowning the social champion. So, all in all, they had over 107,000 impressions across the various, hashtags, over 520,000 pieces of content were generated on Instagram and Twitter throughout the week. And so they really made social part of the experience. Again, it's really effective where, when fans go to every single event and see an element of social, it just allows that entire week to kind of continue that thread. So they made a big effort to make social part of it. We were obviously thrilled to be the vendor that they chose. And obviously, I think, things ended up extremely well for them.
Well, and as we've discussed many times on this show, leagues, teams, brands, they are looking to engage their fans in unique ways. And that's what you guys are able to help companies, teams, leagues do, is engage people on social in a unique way. So you left us hanging there. Who won the battle between the Bucks and the Ducks with social? Who got it?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And obviously the Ducks are long time clients of Pestano, and so it was I challenged them obviously in advance, letting them know, hey, look, there's gonna be a social battle. It's not one you're gonna wanna lose. Unfortunately, they're up a pretty strong base of fans at Ohio State that has obviously much longer roots than Oregon. So Ohio State won the social battle as well as the game. But when that screen that we created to announce the winner went up, it had, confetti flying over. I mean, the Buckeye fans went absolutely nuts. So, of course, more importantly, to win the game. But I think it was they had a lot of fun with it. Definitely some bragging rights for sure.
Well, that's cool. And then that large, gigantic screen
inside of AT&T Stadium where the Cowboys play. I mean, that's got to be like the greatest canvas to work on ever for a company like yours.
It is. It is awesome. I mean, just on like a side note, we brought one of our designers that this was the first time, you know, he had been in AT&T Stadium. We do a lot of events there, you know, obviously the Cowboys throughout the season, but also other events that roll through there. But we were setting up, you know, some things a few days before the game, and we put up the national championship photo mosaic, and we were in the control room, and, you know, I said, you know, can you put it up on the big board? And they switched it onto the big board, and literally tears came from his eyes. When you are a designer and you work obviously in an office and you might have a 19 or 20 inch monitor in front of you that you're working on, and you obviously have great pride in the work that you do, but when you see that work that you've done go on a 60 yard high def screen in a setting like that, you got very emotional. It was awesome. I mean, so that was, and that's the impact that that screen has. If you've been inside that stadium, usually the first impression anybody has when they walk in there, it's like you've heard about it, but you have no idea till you see it. It's amazing.
Brian Cheek, the Director of Business Development for Sports for Pestano, is joining us. You can find them at Pestano.com or on Twitter at Pestano. Let's talk about your recently launched Pestano Command Center. I've seen this thing on your website. I cannot wait to see it in person. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's been a long undertaking, you know, here at Pestano. Justin Garrity, the president of TigerLogic and the Pestano product, this has really been his vision for a number of years. And a lot of people have different perception of a command center. And oftentimes a command center is a concept and not a product. And there's a big difference between those two terms. So if you think about what has been done in the past, and, you know, if you go onto Google and just, you know, do a search for command center, you'll see all different types of screen arrangements and different types of, you know, content, you know, driven to those screens from maybe one of the oldest ones that's been around, like NASA, right? You have that shared screen experience in front of them in the big room, and then you've got everybody working on their individual desktops. And that's a common type of experience that is associated with command center. So you have charts and graphs and things like that that are more of a general overview that are being projected onto screens. But really the majority of the work is being done, you know, by the people on the laptop, whether it's generating reports or corresponding. And so, again, that concept, Command Center has been more of a concept. So we took the route of actually productizing the Pestano Command Center. So the Pestano Command Center is actually a product, not really a concept. And so it kind of changes the whole dynamic. And some of the, you know, things behind the Command Center product that make it very unique is we have some kind of principles about it. One is it's rooted in social. And so the experience starts with social being on the forefront. So it's Twitter and it's Instagram and it's things like trending topics and it's most influential people with clout scores and what they're posting, and it has time dimension. And then from there, right, we can integrate with other products to bring in other data, whether that is website traffic data, whether that's e-commerce type data, whether it's some data analytics from an existing analytics platform that you might have. And so we can bring those other elements to create what we call this Command Center product. And when you go to our website on the section, you will see it can be a footprint of, you know, as large as you want it to be. So the one we launched with in New York last Tuesday was about 6 feet tall and 16 feet wide. So a 2x4 metrics, the screens are all put together. And they act as one. So it's an individual browser creating the entire experience. And it works off of dimensions. And so dimensions and time. And so, for instance, if you are an entity like Feld Entertainment, one of our clients, which does Supercross, Arena Cross, Ringling Brothers, Disney on Ice, they have a lot of different brands that obviously have different hashtag conversations associated with them. So we can actually build the command center And allow that wall to change off of dimensions with a remote controller. And the remote controller is your iPhone or an iPad.
Wow.
So the experience of walking up to the wall and having it be, you know, say felled up in the top left corner and have all the dimensions running across the top and be able to pivot off those dimensions on demand. So literally on your phone, touch Supercross. And the entire wall changes to the conversation and social around Supercross. It's really magical. And it's meant to be, you know, it serves a few purposes. One, of course, is that you will instantly get the feel and the pulse of what's going on around that brand at that given time. It's a great office environment for collaboration, for digital teams to really plan to, you know, think tank things, to really kind of understand what's around their brand and how people are, you know, conversing with them. But just being able to, you know, pivot off of different dimensions and or time really make it an interactive screen and a product. So it's not a build once and then, gosh dang it, we should have done this or we should have done that. I mean, it's very receptive to manipulation and changes. And the addition of just throwing up an ad hoc query at any time, put in a hashtag and see what's happening around that particular conversation. So it has various elements to it from, you know, showing the social content, trending topics, you know, influencers, posts per minute, a graph across the bottom showing, you know, dimension. And then of course, you know, where we also add from a Pestano perspective is, you know, we would create the branded experience, right? So not every command center is going to look the same. So if you walk into XYZ brand or ABC brand, the elements of data and things are similar, but the wall will look entirely different. So it really becomes a showcase for the corporate office as well. It would be something you would want to show people when they came in, you know, that, hey, this is what we're all about, and this is the conversation around our brand. So we're really excited about it. You know, it's a, again, it's been a, you know, undertaking that, you know, Justin has, you know, Justin Garrity has been, you know, really dreaming about for years.
No, it's fantastic looking. If you have not seen it, go to Pestano.com. So, Brian, you guys are going to be at South by Sports in Austin next month. You've got a panel discussion there. You guys work with some incredible brands from, like you said, the Oregon Ducks, the Dallas Cowboys, the Boston Red Sox, the LA Kings, the Cleveland Cavaliers. What's this panel discussion at South by Sports going to entail?
Yeah, the we're obviously really, you know, privileged to be, you know, chosen. And I think, you know, the panel that that I'm going to be moderating, I mean, you couldn't get a more, well, first of all, awesome people, but in addition to that, such a diverse, right, teams, right? So LA Kings, right? Pat Donahue, probably, you know, in sports, one of the top, you know, obviously Twitter accounts there is, from being witty to being creative to, you know, driving engagement, one of the best for sure. You know, then we have, you know, Grace Hoy from Arizona State. So we have, you know, the college perspective of that, you know, crazy college fan. You've got the Kings being in a really difficult, like, market to get attention in Los Angeles, where so many things are going on for entertainment dollar, yet they've got whatever 3 years of consecutive sellouts and a tremendous amount of engagement. You know, and then we go to, you know, Megan Ryan of the Boston Red Sox, who is as creative in mind as Pat Donahue for sure. And, you know, but she has that element of tradition that she has to maintain with the Fenway fan, you know, some of that fan base that have been sitting in that ballpark for 50 years. How do you, you know, create that fan experience by taking advantage of technology and social while maintaining, right, and really still speaking to that base of heritage, right, that the Boston Red Sox are all about? So I'm really excited about how this conversation, you know, that we're going to have on the panel is going to take place. I mean, they're really excited about it. And again, I just think it's, you know, just a great, you know, differentiation of you know, sports teams that we're going to have on the panel. So I'm really excited about it. It's going to be great. It's, you know, South by Sports, you know, is a new product, you know, that's associated with South by. It's fantastic. I mean, the lineup of events that are there and the topics that are going to be talked about. We're going to be concentrating on that what's called the game day playbook, right? What do you think about when you want to deliver that game experience to the fan, and how do you incorporate social, and you know, what are you doing in the ballpark or in the arena or in that football stadium to not only engage with your fans, but differentiate, you know, what that experience is at game day in the ballpark or arena versus what you experience at home. So we're going to be touching across, you know, a lot of different topics, you know, some of the activations that they've done, what's worked, what hasn't worked, and some of the best practices that, you know, these three people, you know, kind of think about every day.
And what is the date of that panel discussion?
That's a great question. I believe it's the 13th of March, but don't quote me on that one. Sorry, I don't have that off the top of my head, but no, I believe it is. I think that's when it is.
Yeah, I think it is too. So, you know, you can go to southbysports.com. You can go to Pistano.com or follow Pistano on Twitter at Pistano. And I'm sure you guys will have that information up, because I know a lot of our listeners are going to be going to South by Sports. Our good friend, Rebecca Pfefferman, who puts together those panels, will be at our event, the Sports PR Summit in May in New York City. Brian, thanks for taking the time to catch up. You guys are doing incredible work as always. We certainly appreciate all the work that you do with us at Sports PR Summit and the Sports Business Radio Roadshow. It's just amazing to see fans engage in a way that they wouldn't otherwise without you guys. So it's great to have you on board.
Great. Appreciate you spending some time with me today, Brian. Talk soon.
Okay, that's Brian Cheek, and he's with Pistano. You can go to Pistano.com or follow them on Twitter at Pistano. You're listening to Sports Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Stay in touch with SBR on Twitter. Twitter.com/SB Radio. Powered by Pistano.
Hello, my name is Sophia Berger. I want to tell you about the Pixie Project. The Pixie Project matches pets to the right people. The Pixie Project takes pride in finding matches for both people and animals. The Pixie Project also offers low-cost veterinary assistance. My family worked with the Pixie Project to adopt our lovable puppy, Scotty. He's a great addition to our family. So if you get a dog or cat, kitten or puppy, you should go to the Pixie Project. To learn more about the Pixie Project, visit them at www.pixieproject.org.
The website is sportsbusinessradio.com.
My guest is Peter Cipollone. He is a co-founder of a new company called Instavisor. You can find them online at instavisor.com or on Twitter at Instavisor. It's live one-to-one video coaching with MLB All-Stars, Stanley Cup champions, Olympic gold medalists, and more. Really unique idea. Peter, thanks for joining us on Sports Business Radio. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
So first, how did you come up with this idea? Because I think it's a unique one.
Well, my co-founder and I are retired Olympic athletes. He was a short track speed skater, and I was a coxswain in the sport of rowing. And something that we found, you know, over a long period of time was that aspiring athletes, whether they were sort of weekend warriors or young athletes and their parents, we're always looking to us and our friends for advice on, you know, whether it was just how to be a better athlete or, you know, even sometimes very specific technical advice within their sport. So it seemed like there was a market for this. And, you know, we know a lot of people who can provide that kind of information and love to talk about it.
Yeah, that's great, because the other thing I think of too, for instance, I have a 10-year-old daughter, and I know sometimes coaches and especially parents have a hard time resonating with their kids, and I would think if they're able to talk to someone who's achieved elite success like you have and the other coaches on your roster, that they might pay a little bit more attention to you guys than they would to us.
That's exactly right. The feedback that we get from parents all the time after sessions with our instructors is that, you know, wow, you know, we feel like we were saying the same things that your instructor said, but they listened to you. And that's, you know, that they listen to you comes back over and over again. And that's, you know, it's fun and it's gratifying because it has a positive effect.
So walk us through how Instavisor works. I know that you go to Instavisor.com, but then from there, if someone's going to hire one of your coaches, how long are the sessions? What are the costs involved? Walk us through that.
Okay, so once you arrive at Instavisor.com, you can find, you know, you can look through our roster of instructors and sort by sport, and then look through and see, you know, who looks interesting. So if you're, you know, if your child is, say, a female gymnast, you may want to talk to an Olympic medalist female gymnast, or, you know, if you have a son who's a soccer player, they may want to talk to a, you know, an MLS, you know, men's side player. Once you've identified who you might want to speak with, you just click on the book a session button, and it takes you right through the process. So it's really as simple as picking a session duration, so whether you want to talk for 20 or 30 minutes, and then a date and a time, enter some credit card information, and you're off to the races. So once the session is booked, you actually message back and forth with the instructor in advance of the session to set the agenda and talk a little bit about what it is that you as an athlete or your child is really working on and trying to, you know, trying to get better at. You can exchange videos ahead of time as well. And then at the appointed time, it's live one-on-one video interaction. So you're looking right at your instructor and, you know, talking through everything from mental game to specific techniques of trying to do a certain move or something like that. Really, whatever the questions that you have are.
Yeah, and it looks like the costs range from anywhere from $50 to $100 for a 30-minute session. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's about right. So the average for a half an hour is about $60. And, you know, part of what we wanted to do was make sure that this was affordable across the board, and that people got really good value out of it. So our instructors, you know, despite the fact that they're all big names in their respective sports, have been really good about saying, hey, you know, it's great that I get paid for this, but there's an altruistic motive as well.
No, I think it's great. Who are some of the bigger, I guess, more recognizable names that you have associated on your coaching roster? But then also, how do you go about recruiting athletes to be on your coaching roster?
Sure. So on our roster, I would say we'll pick some names in women's gymnastics, Alicia Sacramone and Courtney Coupetz, who are both Olympic silver medalists. On the men's side, we have a former NFL quarterback in Trent Edwards, who started 30 games in the NFL. And then across other sports, you know, we have a Stanley Cup champion in Brian Muir. He was a player for the Washington Capitals and Colorado Avalanche, as well as across a bunch of the Olympic sports. So we have great coverage in soccer, track and field, rowing. But as far as recruiting them, it's relatively straightforward for us. So we, you know, through our networks, are able to reach people who are either, you know, current or former athletes who have started to build up their own coaching businesses, and are very interested in reaching a wider marketplace. So being able to connect with aspiring athletes, not just nationwide, but worldwide. You know, we've had customers from the United Kingdom and Finland. All over the world.
Peter, what if I'm someone who says, okay, the video is great and the conversation on video, but like, I want to meet with my coach in person. I want my child to be able to get coaching in person. Is that an option?
We actually had just last week in track and field a situation just like that, and it turned out that the people who wanted to speak with one of our track and field instructors happened to live close enough by that they purchased the session online and actually did the meeting in person. So it does happen, and it's really a question of, you know, are they close enough to make that happen? But, you know, one thing that we've found, and I guess it comes from our experience as athletes, is that doing these things over video, the technology has become so good that you don't necessarily have to be physically there to be there and help make improvements. You can, you know, whether you're looking at video, we've actually had parents, you know, bring cameras into, you know, into competitions and things like that, and, you know, take some video footage and then bring it back to show to the instructor. There's quite a bit that can get done right over the live video.
No, it's great. I just thought, you know, if there were parents out there or customers in general that found value in meeting in person and they said, you know what, I'll pay expenses for ex-coach to come meet with my child, it sounds like that would be an option in addition to the video. Peter, I know Tommy O'Hare is your co-founder of InstaVisor. The thing I like about you guys is you're not just former Olympians. You also have pretty solid business backgrounds as well. Maybe you can talk about that a little bit.
Sure. So Tommy's background is particularly interesting. After he was done his competitive speed skating career, he actually became an attorney and went on to work for the U.S. Olympic Committee doing media agreements with some pretty big players, so Comcast and the IOC, and then eventually spent several years working at Google and YouTube doing exactly the same thing. So, you know, together, our backgrounds, you know, sort of cross technology, media, and as well as, you know, knowing where the sports personalities and the instructors are and having those relationships to bring them in.
No, that's fantastic. What's the long-term plan with InstaVisor? When you start something, I know a lot of times you have kind of the end game and what you want to grow it into. What do you want to grow InstaVisor into?
Well, the long-term plan is really to help the future generations of athletes across, you know, every sport become much better. When we think back to when we were first getting started, there was nothing like this, right? And you had to, you know, try to sort of go and find and beg someone to mentor you as a young athlete. And for the most part, that just doesn't happen. So really, our goal is to take this worldwide and create an environment where aspiring athletes can learn in sort of a you know, I guess with a little bit less pressure on them than having to try to learn everything at practice. And really to hear from the people who've been there and done that at every level of sport. So we're looking to, you know, grow this large and both help the aspiring athletes get better faster, as well as with all of these instructors who have, you know, gone on to create coaching businesses or be mentors, to, you know, help them monetize that experience a little bit and sustain that through a lifetime of coaching and mentoring.
So you and Tommy are the co-founders. Who else is on your team on a day-to-day basis, or is it just the two of you?
Actually, so we're up to 3.5 people now. So we have we just hired our lead engineer, a guy named Neil Shah, who has a great background in both consumer internet but also education technology. So he's been a fantastic find, and we have an aspiring 2016 Olympian in Megan O'Leary. She's actually training for the rowing team. She has a really fascinating background. She was a two-sport varsity athlete at the University of Virginia in softball and volleyball. She went after college to ESPN, where she spent, 5 years in production and programming, and was looking for something to do to stay in shape, joined a rowing club, and within a few weeks of joining the club, the coach said, "Hey, I think you should be trying out for the national team." And now she's a top contender for the 2016 squad. So she's been fantastic. She handles a lot of our editorial and marketing work. All the while, she's training for the Olympics in Rio.
Now, that's a great story. Before I let you go, I guess what advice would you have as someone who's a former Olympian to youngsters who may want to, you know, be an elite athlete or qualify for the Olympic Games? I know a lot of times we've had on this show coaches and they talk about mental preparation, physical preparation. Are there two or three things that you'd advise from your standpoint with your experience?
Sure. I think number one, first and foremost, is make sure you enjoy the day-to-day process. You know, it doesn't have to be fun all the time, but you have to want to be there. And as long as that's the case, like as long as you love what you're doing on balance, then you'll have a good chance to reach your potential. You know, I think a lot of times people feel like they have to push so hard, so fast. It takes a long time to become the very best you can be, and you have to be in it for the long haul.
Well, that's great stuff. Peter Cipollone, he is the co-founder of the company InstaVisor. You can find them online at InstaVisor.com. You can find them on Twitter at InstaVisor. Invite you to check out their roster of coaches. Really an interesting, unique concept that caught my eye, and we have a mutual friend. So, Peter, I wish you the best of success going forward.
Hey, Brian, thanks so much. Really appreciate the time.
Thank you. You're listening to Sports Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Stay in touch with SBR on Twitter, twitter.com/SB Radio, powered by Postano. Sports Business Radio talks to the people who call the shots in the world of sports.
Brian Berger goes one-on-one with the biggest names.
My guest is David Stern. He's the commissioner of the NBA.
It is always a pleasure, Brian.
Bill Hancock, he's the executive director of the Bowl Championship Series.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban. Mark, thanks for joining me.
My pleasure.
My guest is Mickey Loomis. He's the executive vice president and general manager of the world champion New Orleans Saints.
Pleasure to be with you guys.
Mr. Allen, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
My guest is Mark Emmert. He's the president of the NCAA.
Oh, happy to join you. My pleasure.
My guest is Eric Spoelstra. He's the head coach of the Miami Heat.
Brian, appreciate it. Glad to be on the show.
Mr. Nicholas, it's an honor to have you on Sports Business Radio. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Brian.
Visit sportsbusinessradio.com
and subscribe to our free iTunes podcast.
Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and stay connected to the business side of sports only with Sports Business Radio.
The website is sportsbusinessradio.com.
My guest is Shagoural Arshad. He is the CEO and founder of Mondo Goal. You can find them on Twitter at Mondo Goal. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Thanks for taking the time.
Oh, thank you very much. Despite my voice being a little hoarse, I'm still celebrating that Patriots Super Bowl win.
Yeah, that was quite a game. Were you at the game?
I actually did make it out there, even though I run a fantasy soccer website. I'm still a New Englander at heart, and I did make it out to the game.
Yeah, I was there as well. Pretty incredible atmosphere for the Super Bowl, and what an ending, huh?
Unbelievable ending. I mean, you had the whole drama of sports, it keeps getting better and better.
Well, I guess that's why the TV networks pay such huge money for live sports programs, because you never know what you're going to get, and that was quite an ending. So let's talk about your company. How big is the global audience for Mondo Goal and for fantasy soccer?
Yeah, so, you know, this is a great segment. I mean, the Super Bowl was watched by 185 million households. This very same weekend, there was a Manchester City-Chelsea regular season match in the Premier League that had over 600 million viewers worldwide.
Wow.
So if you think about it that way, the World Cup finals routinely watched by somewhere in the order of 2 billion people. and if you add up all the other U.S. sports combined, you're reaching a small fraction of that. So the addressable audience for soccer fans worldwide really is in the billions.
With that being said, what do you think the growth opportunities are both in the U.S. and outside the U.S.?
Yeah, so Mondo Goal operates a daily fantasy soccer site for cash. So similar in business model to a FanDuel or DraftKings, but we're vertically focused only within soccer. And outside the U.S., there's been a very strong growth of season-long fantasy leagues, especially in Europe, in England and Germany, Italy, Spain. The people have been playing newspaper-based formats with the Sun or the Mirror in the UK or Gazzetta dello Sport in Italy, and also in pockets of Asia, Australia, South America. You know, fantasy soccer has certainly been prevalent. But the opportunity to now marry that with a cash-based format where, you know, a lot of these jurisdictions allow cash play and have allowed, you know, gaming and gambling. In our format, we're essentially merging two of their vices, if you will, the ability to play fantasy sports and the ability to do it for cash.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. I don't know if you've seen the current issue of ESPN the magazine with NBA Commissioner Adam Silver on the cover.
And, yes, I have.
You know, pretty in-depth gambling issue. I found it to be very interesting. What are your thoughts on, you know, Commissioner Silver's on record now saying that he'd like to seriously explore legalizing gambling on sports in the United States around the major sports leagues. How does that impact your company and then just, I guess, gambling in general in the United States?
Yeah, so I mean, probably the biggest misnomer out there is that, you know, gambling for some reason has been put in some sort of a sin category. When you think about it, with all the Indian reservation casinos opening up, Las Vegas, obviously, and then some states like New Jersey legalizing forms of betting, really betting has been part of human culture since probably the caveman era. So, betting on sports, whether legal or illegal, has been happening anyway. And so the tax dollars that can be captured in an industry online, I think, are too large to ignore. And so I would say that, that issue, what highlighting more than anything else is, why should illegal activity be viewed as such when the rest of the world is growing and making it legal?
So in countries like the UK, where you have deals with Chelsea, Liverpool, Man City, what's the value proposition where gambling in the traditional sense is already legal?
Yeah, so it's an excellent hypothesis that we had was, we're introducing daily fantasy soccer to countries where there's already the opportunity to whip out your iPhone and place a bet on that night's game or first goal scorer. What we're actually seeing is, more and more people telling us that, the fantasy format is, more compelling to them. We had one instance where we're speaking with a journalist who said, he plays in five different fantasy soccer, or as they call it, football leagues, and also gambles over 50 pounds a week on different wagers he makes. And he said the opportunity now wager on fantasy was something that, was a novel concept, but they couldn't wait to try it. And our numbers so far to date are supporting this, that because of the, lack of stigma, any stigma attached to it, and also the pervasiveness and ease of being able to go online and participate, the UK in particular are actually showing us stronger average numbers than here in the US, which are already extremely high.
Are there hindrances for companies like FanDuel and DraftKings to take their business abroad?
Yeah, absolutely there are. We actually are incorporated overseas and have a UK gaming license. So our ability to work with the Chelseas and Man Cities and Barcelona's, our latest and greatest team deal so far, has largely been enabled by the fact that we have a upfront legal presence in that market. For FanDuel and DraftKings to go overseas, first of all, they would have to set up an operation in Europe, or they would not receive a UK gaming license, and therefore they'd have to mirror, set up separate servers and mirror everything over there, and get licensed. At the same time, sort of getting licensed in essence is signaling and basically raising their hand that this is indeed, gaming versus the whole stance that the platform they've been standing on here in the U.S., which would basically say it's not that.
Shergul, when you set up a deal with a team like a Chelsea, Liverpool, Man City, or you just mentioned Barcelona, what does that look like? I'm not asking for exact financial details, but in general terms, what does that type of deal look like?
These are fantastic marketing partnerships for us. So, first of all, we have six teams in contract right now and are live with six teams and have many more that are teed up. And what this does for us is it establishes credibility to the fan. So a fan who comes into Mondo Goal via a Chelsea or a Barcelona or a Liverpool is seeing the club players and colors and likenesses and logos. So it's establishing credibility. Secondly, the clubs are marketing to their fans to come to the official fantasy site of Barcelona, official fantasy site of Chelsea. So it's very much a club-branded approach, which endears itself to their fans, but also when they market it, they're getting, in essence, there's a revenue share model where they're getting compensated for driving fans into a very compelling business model. So ultimately for us, it establishes credibility, drives in new users, and we're excited to work with the magnitude of clubs that we are right now. So for example, Barcelona has 80 million fans on Facebook. If you add up all 32 teams in the NFL, you get to 80 million. So one team is bigger than the entire NFL.
That's remarkable. Well, and you've got to think for the team, you know, like you just said, it's fan engagement, and then also it's another revenue stream for them. So, like, why wouldn't they want to do this?
Absolutely, and it's a not only is it a new revenue stream, it's also giving them content and database marketing capabilities on their own site. So you know, the way we've approached partnerships is to make them almost white label in nature, such that the fan that comes in feels like they're still part of Manchester City or AS Roma or West Ham United site. We want the fans and the clubs to feel like this is theirs. And ultimately, the gameplay behind it, the mechanics, the engine behind it, is shared universally. So, you know, we benefit by all the players coming in.
Last question for you. What about Major League Soccer? Is there an audience that you'll try and work with for growing club interest in the States?
Yeah, so we already are running Major League Soccer games. And last summer, we saw a good lift right after the World Cup ended with people participating in Major League Soccer contests. And we're definitely are friendly with a lot of the league members and some of the teams. There's been a, you know, holistic approach right now. But, you know, our approach is that we think that we can be a huge benefit for Major League Soccer by simply offering contests when the seasons in Europe end. And the English Premier League fan who's hooked on Mondo Goal and has come in through Man City or Chelsea has come in through the site, has played and enjoyed it. Well, now the season's over and you've got a couple of months. It's a perfect segue for them to come in and play the Major League Soccer contest. Maybe they came in because they're following Frank Lampard or Steven Gerrard, but the reality is they'll start to learn about the league. So we think we can be an excellent branding vehicle for Major League Soccer and also an acquisition vehicle for them to bring in international fans like no other platform out there.
Well, it's worth noting, I should have mentioned this off the top, you've got a deep background in soccer. So, you know, it's great that you're involved in this because I think you have an expertise and a level of understanding that, you know, someone who may just have a fantasy background doesn't.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, I was the head of digital for AS Roma, which is a club ironically owned by a group of Boston investors. And so I was brought into the soccer mix by Jim Pallotta and the folks at AS Roma. So for 3 years, I was working in the soccer industry directly with Roma and the great Francesco Totti. But I was also networking with a lot of peers and colleagues in the digital space at some of the clubs around the world. You're right. At the same time, I was also playing, you know, FanDuel and DraftKings and really enjoying that format. And so what led me to start Mondo Goal was I saw this big gap where no one was addressing soccer and no one was working collaboratively with the clubs. So we've put together a team full of soccer fanatics. We've got you know, folks with deep legal backgrounds. We've got an all-star tech team and marketing team really working on this opportunity ahead of us.
Well, I've enjoyed our conversation. Definitely a growing space. Shergul Arshad, he is the CEO and founder of Mondo Goal. You can find them on Twitter at Mondo Goal. How can people follow you personally on Twitter? I know I started following you today.
Well, I'm. It's simple. It's at Shergul. The spelling might be a little challenging, so it's S-H-E-R-G-U-L. And I encourage any fan, anyone who has questions on the space or investors or team prospects to reach out to me directly.
Well, thanks for making the time to join us on Sports Business Radio. I appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
You're listening to Sports Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Stay in the know at sportsbusinessradio.com. Podcasts, blogs, and more powered by Postano. SBR will be right back.
Now I'm 4 or 5 seconds from wildin', and we got 3 more days till Friday. I'm just trying to make it.
Hi, it's Brian Berger. Here at Sports Business Radio, we are proud to work with our partners, Pestano. They make a sports-proven visual marketing platform that I've personally been amazed to see. Teams like the Dallas Cowboys, Boston Red Sox, LA Kings, and Cleveland Cavaliers all use Pestano to engage their fans. When sports teams and fans tell their stories together, amazing things can happen. Every fan has a story. Whether you want to put selfies on the Jumbotron, create a dynamic social media command center, or activate a hashtag campaign on your website, Pestano can design an amazing social experience true to your brand. Even better, using the Pestano platform can pay for itself through selling sponsorships. As an example, the Kings sell sponsor space to Toyota and other clients and run the ads using Pestano. Want to see what your team's social content could look like? Schedule a demo today. Go to Pestano.com/sports. If you're a fan of this podcast, you understand the real power of engaging your fans. And these guys get it. That is Pestano.com.
The website is sportsbusinessradio.com.
We are back to wrap up this edition of Sports Business Radio. Thanks for joining us. The other headlines of the week: Anthony Bosch, the former owner of a Florida medical clinic who posed as a doctor and illegally supplied steroid injections and other performance-enhancing drugs to professional baseball players, including Alex Rodriguez, gets a 4-year prison sentence, so he's headed to prison. And speaking of Alex Rodriguez, he's apologizing to anyone who will listen. He apologized to the Yankees. He's apologized to Major League Baseball. He's apologized to the MLB Union. And he apologized to the fans in a handwritten letter that was released this week. Again, as someone who works with high-profile athletes, celebrities, executives, not sure a letter is the best way to go about it. Most of the time, people want to see you apologize. They want to look you in the eye. They want to see your face. They want to see your mannerisms. They want to see if you're sincere. But the most important thing is, once you've apologized, to walk the talk. And Alex Rodriguez has apologized in the past, and he has not walked the talk. So he's likely to join the ranks of Lance Armstrong, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, as people who have apologized, but we really don't believe them. We really don't trust them going forward, but we'll see. I'm sure if he gets some hits for the Yankees and is successful integrating back into that lineup, that maybe people will forget. But his legacy, as far as I'm concerned, is ruined. I don't think he'll ever make the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame, just like we say about Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. A lot of thank yous on the show this week. Our show staff, Brian Griggs, Josh Blank, and Doug Zanger. Thanks to our friends at Pestano for powering Sports Business Radio. Follow them online at Pestano.com or on Twitter at Pestano. A podcast reminder: you can catch our show on demand via podcast. Go to iTunes, type in Sports Business Radio. We're rated in the top 100 business news podcasts. You can also find our show via the TuneIn Radio and Stitcher apps. You can find links to many ways to listen to our show by going to sportsbusinessradio.com. Follow me on Twitter at SB Radio. Our Twitter feed was named the top 100 sports business must follows on Twitter by Forbes magazine for 2014. And a reminder that we're on sale now with the 2015 Sports PR Summit. It's an invite only event for 100 top senior PR executives from across the sports world. You can go to sportsprsummit.com for our event agenda and to request an invitation to attend the invite-only event. Great lineup this year. We've got Chauncey Billups, Mr. Big Shot, Tiki Barber, the co-founder of Thuzio, also CBS Radio and the New York Giants' all-time leading rusher, Jay Williams, former point guard at Duke and NBA star, Mike Bass, who heads up communications for the NBA, Mary Byrne from USA Today, the sports editor. And we've got a roundtable discussion featuring Sports Illustrated editors and reporters. Our event will take place on the Sports Illustrated turf at the Time and Life Building in New York. Again, the date is May 19th. Great event bringing together senior PR executives, senior media people, and athletes for really good conversations over the course of a day. I invite you to find out more information at sportsprsummit.com. Very proud of that event. For Brian Griggs, I'm Brian Berger. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon right here on Sports Business Radio.
Sports Business Radio talks to the people who call the shots in the world of sports.
Brian Berger goes one-on-one with the biggest names.
My guest is David Stern. He's the commissioner of the NBA.
It is always a pleasure, Brian.
Bill Hancock, he's the executive director of the Bowl Championship Series.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban. Mark, thanks for joining me.
My pleasure.
My guest is Mickey Loomis. He's the executive vice president and general manager of the world champion New Orleans Saints.
Pleasure to be with you guys.
Mr. Allen, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
My guest is Mark Emmert. He's the president of the NCAA.
Oh, happy to join you. My pleasure.
My guest is Eric Spoelstra. He's the head coach of the Miami Heat.
Brian, appreciate it. Glad to be on the show.
Mr. Nicholas, it's an honor to have you on Sports Business Radio. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Brian.
Visit sportsbusinessradio.com
and subscribe to our free iTunes podcast.
Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and stay connected to the business side of sports only with Sports Business Radio.